being, and how would you answer this? Because we talk a lot about living from heaven to earth, right? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to live from heaven to earth for you?
Well, part of it is what you said with Dawn and
Becky.
I'm Lauren's daughter, Linda. Is that when you're living in that heavenly spot, I mean, his words translated to you, and you even found it in the Bible, and that's what we're supposed to do, is making it work.
Yeah.
Bringing that heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to have that connection. Sometimes it breaks. but that's, to me, that's what it's all about. Being able to live the life so fully that you're living a biblical life.
Yeah, I like that. What's heaven to earth look like for you? What's it kind of, what does it mean to be in that place?
Awareness.
Like
a constant awareness.
I mean, like, just like a receiver. You feel like connected.
Yeah, the connection.
You're,
I think
you're hearing
the
things.
Connection.
And yeah. I like that a lot. Anybody else? What's it look like?
Staying open. It goes along with what everybody's saying, but that I find that my biggest challenge is just staying an open receptacle for the Lord and for the truth,
yeah,
for his love, because I feel like the things that come at me all the time are, that block it, sometimes are like just overwhelming sorrow at the evil that goes on,
yeah,
the cruelty and hatred, the fears that go with that. So things block it, you know, and I have to work on getting that worked out so that I can be a through pond instead of a stagnant one, because fear, guilt, shame, condemnation that you're not doing enough.
Those are our blockers, huh?
That you don't measure up, and you're disappointing your Heavenly Father. And so, you know, all of those things, they're just coming at you. Just, I don't know about you guys, but
yeah.
I feel like one of my biggest jobs is to keep the beavers from building the dam.
That's a good picture.
And pulling out those sticks and saying, no, 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 no. I can focus on the good and not the evil, because good will overcome evil. Light will break darkness. And the only way we could do that in our world is to have the light living in us and to not allow anything to block that from coming in, because it can't go out if it's not coming in.
I think some of those things that you said, those are like, if we were to build a list of things that block, right? Fear, shame,
yes,
guilt, rejection, deception, manipulation, right? And we could keep that as a big list, isn't there? And
well, even sorrow. Sorrow in itself isn't necessarily something that's not ungodly. I know that you're feeling really God's sorrow. But for me, what happens when I feel overwhelming sorrow over things is I feel like I'm not doing enough to make something different or better.
Oh, sure.
Because it shouldn't be like this.
Yeah. Some of the things you can identify, if you're wondering, hey, am I experiencing blockage? What's he tell us our fruit should look like? He tells us, what's the fruit of spirit? What are they? Love?
Joy.
Peace.
Kindness.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Guys are awesome.
Peace. Against such things there is no law.
Right. So that was excellent. And so it's like, so sometimes if you're like, where's my joy? Where's my peace? You know, a good thing to do is might be, look for some of those blockages. Look for those things that's like, oh, is there something that's blocking? Because that I've allowed in, that I've partnered with, I've connected with, it's kind of come into this place. Because I think, you know, when I think of, well, I'm supposed to be without fear. So if I say that, I'm covering your blanket list of blockages. Because you know every one of those things in that list is a derivative of fear?
At all.
Every one of those things, shame, guilt, they're all fear's family, right?
Yeah.
Right? The opposite of fear, Jesus tells us.
Love,
right? It's fun, you know, to me, the sweet spot of the gospel. I always tell you this. Anybody know where my sweet spot is? So I always tell you this, go to these chapters.
John.
Right? And it buried in the heart of John. It's right there. It's this section of scripture, 15, 16, 17. It's time where he's with the disciples in the upper room. It's before the cross, and he's sharing these truths. And because it's in 15 that he's talking about just resting in love. He uses the word abide. Maybe some of your Bibles might say remain. And I thought, especially in this season, yeah. I've been thinking about, am I there? And so with all this craziness, with COVID, or racial discourse, or just stupid, just life that looks nutso, it's hard to think, am I resting in love? Am I staying in this place? And I found myself lots of blockages at times, realizing, okay, I'm struggling here. One of the things that's, you know, he gave us, if I was to say living from heaven to earth, if I said, what's your assignment living heaven to earth? What kind of things would you describe in your assignment?
Just walk out who he's already created you to
sure.
be. It's really simple.
Yeah. What are some of the powerful things you've got in your assignment?
Love people.
Love people.
Yeah, love people.
Even
love.
As hard as it is.
What do we do with sickness? What do we do with sickness?
Tell it doesn't have any place.
Right? He gave you a very powerful assignment in responding to sickness.
Yep.
By the way, even death, he gave
right.
you a powerful assignment. He gave you these, like a role to play in this heaven to earth thing, the put on display. It's not just, I feel at peace. It's not just, oh, look at, I feel, I'm good. It's like, do something with that. It's like, it's actually taking it to one more place. And it's like invading his fear, invading her depression, invading her sickness, right? Darla will often talk to me about going to work, and she does this. She walks around like this. And she'll walk to people in the hall. She goes, do you want in my bubble? She's, right? If she ever, maybe she's done with some of you. Do you want in my bubble?
Yeah.
And she's basically saying, I carry this. And come on in, because in this place, all that's going to go. And if you're sick today, we're going to see you healed today. We're going to
yeah.
see these things lifted off of you. I just love that thought about, you know, carrying presence so proudly, so strongly, so confidently that the enemy doesn't get to mess with that your rest.
Yeah.
When he says, when Jesus says, stay here, rest here, remain here, abide in this
mm-hmm.
love. When he says that, he's talking about your bubble. He's talking about, because in that place, he's talking about carrying your fruit, not to be on display, right? It's not for the, oh, look at him. Look at the gold tassels Don's wearing, right? It's not about, look how good you are. It's like, wow, it's the impact you're bringing to the people around you and walking out in your assignment. And so I was, and by the way, that's 15 when he says stay there. This next thing he tells us in John 16, he says, and oh, by the way, don't worry, Holy Spirit's gonna come and help sort of like show you how to bring your bubble everywhere. He's gonna tell you how to carry this assignment. He's gonna empower you to stand against the things that are lying against, he's gonna tell you how to deal with blockages, okay? That's in 16. And in 17 is when it's almost like, now you got it. Because in John 17, it's when he says, oh, Father, that they would know I'm in you and you're in me, just like you're in them, right? It's like there's this walking out in confidence. Man, here's who I am. I'm the Father's son. I'm the Father's daughter. That's why I say I love 15, 16, and 17. It's just like it's the sweet spot. It's the meat of the gospel. It's what Jesus came to show us. And so I was thinking, in the midst of all protest season and COVID season, you know, it's like, how are we doing on this remaining thing? How are we doing on this rest? If Because I think Jesus is saying it's your key. It's your starting place. It's, it's the only place. It's not a do this first, then go here. It's the final place. It's the it. It's the thing. It's the just stay here. Don't ever leave. I don't ever leave this. So I was wondering, you know, if the response of our assignment is all the powerful things, impact the world, take this everywhere. It's like, and if we sit here and go, well, I'm still struggling with my blockages, or I don't even know where I'm at. I thought, okay, how do we remain? How do we stay in love? And I thought three things. I'll put them out quick. I guess I would say, do we believe what he's offering? But if we don't believe, we won't do it. If we don't believe, we won't be it. If we don't believe, we're not gonna walk it, talk it, enjoy it, celebrate it. And one of the things, if we struggle with believing that place of rest, then we end up kind of getting back on the hamster wheel of performance. And you know, church and religion can a lot of times look like that hamster where you're doing stuff, but you're not going anywhere, and you're spending lots of energy, but it's like nothing. It's like spin. And so it's like, you know, and what we think we're chasing after is, I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna achieve this. And the truth is, you've already achieved it. You've already got it. It's already, you don't have to work for it. It's free, right? And so do I believe what he's saying? So here, out of the Passion Translation, I'll read two verses out of John 15. Remember, that's a stay here, rest right here. He says this in verse 7. He says, but if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done.
Yeah.
Verse 11 goes on and says, for my purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. It's those other parts of the bubble. It's like, God, I'm just enjoying this overflowing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Not because I ran after it, not because I did anything for it. You brought it to me. And that thing of being powerful and walking out and taking that, here's my bubble one in it to people. It's like all that he tells you, all you have to do is just walk in it. Give it to him. That's the asking my name, and it's like I'm gonna do this. I want that. God says, you know what? It's not a mind game. It's not a thing you attain, even necessarily, not working for it. But he does say, it is a belief. It's like Paul calls it retraining your mind. Paul calls it like he says, like we need to like. Get out of thinking this way. Start thinking this way. We need to get out of thinking about this is what the world says I am, and I said, you know, this is who I am. So this staying in my bubble, staying in rest, abiding in this love space, he says, you need to make this a priority. He said, in Hebrews it says this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is not the hamster wheel. Okay. We've had fun with faith. Faith is just walking in this, knowing we're his kids and walking in our assignment. That's all faith is. Faith is just this, I sometimes say the activity of my identity. This is who I am. Anything that lines up with being Papa's kid, that's my faith, right? He says, without that, like, be who you are. That's what we took communion for. We're just agreeing that we're your kid. This is who we are in you. He says, that's what pleases him most. That's what pleases him most. For he says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So his promise to you is, you want to step into the bubble? You want to be in rest? You want to abide in that love thing? He says, that's easy. Just seek me. Just come and make it a priority. Just intentionally come and connect with me. So that's one, that we would be purposeful about seeking him. The second thing I think I would tell you is, you're not going to get this reading from a book. How about this? This is a relational truth.
Yeah.
Right? Because as an educator, you know some people are good test takers, aren't they?
Very.
Does that mean they know it?
Nope.
No. Right? I was a good test taker. you can play the game. You can play the game. You want to remember all the facts. You want to remember all the so when the test comes, you can zip it off. You know, class is over, you depart, you're still a rock. You know, you haven't grown, you haven't changed, because all you did was remember the facts, right?
Regurgitate.
Yeah, you just regurgitated. Sometimes we pick this up and we regurgitate. Sometimes we're the facts. I used to be the guy that we used to have these little cards on our kitchen table. They were like, oh, little Jesus facts, you know.
Like the daily bread ones?
Yeah, oh my gosh, it was a little red box.
Yeah.
And at breakfast time, Mom would have us pull some out, and it was great, right? But I got kind of like proud of, like, I got them all right. You know, and you wanted me on your team when you broke into teams and had like a competition, you wanted me on your team. And by the time I got to college, I had figured God out. I had figured him out. There's nothing else to learn. I knew God. And I knew all the answers. I was so far away from him. I knew all the answers. I knew about him here. I didn't know much of him here. That's what I'm talking about when I say you want to rest in love, you want to abide in it. It's like it's a relational truth. And it's something that's... Katie can't pray it into me, right? Shelly's not going to lay hands on me, and I'm going to get Shelly's connected anointing that she's got with the Lord, right? I might look at you and go, how'd you get there? How'd you get this? I might draw from that, but it's like a relational experience is something that's just, it's connection. Right, it's the boy and the girl that get together, and it's like you might know her birthday, right? You might know the names of all her brothers and sisters, but do you know her? That's, you spend time with the person, and all of a sudden it's like we're still discovering each other. Earl and I are still, hard to believe, right? We're still discovering each other, and that's what I mean by relational truth. Okay. Ephesians 2:6. Look up Ephesians 2:6.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Oh.
I have a strange Bible.
Here. You got your digital Bible? Pull the Bible up, darling. Ephesians 2:6. And Dave, you got your digital Bible?
I got my phone Bible.
Yeah, phone Bible. Philippians 3:20.
Okay.
Because here's the cool part about
Ephesians 2:6.
Ephesians 2:6, and he's got Philippians 3:20. Right?
Okay.
It's a relational truth. And here's the best part. You're already there.
Say it again.
You're already there. You're already there. Remember, I told you, we're not hamster wheeling it. We're not. You don't have to like run and did I go to church today? Did I read my Bible today? Did I pay an offering today? Did I memorize a scripture today? Right? He tells you. You're already there. By the way, I don't care if you're this big or this big. I don't care if you're, this old or this old. You're already there. Yeah. I did not say you were old. Right, so you got Ephesians 2:6?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. What's Ephesians 2:6?
He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ.
Da-da-da-da! There you go. You're seated with him. Some of your verses might say, you're seated with him in heavenly places. You didn't do anything. That's the fun part. You just said, that's where you're at. Dave, what's Philippians 3:20?
Mine's message, so.
Go ahead, that's cool.
Says, but there's far more to life for us. We are citizens of high heaven. So it, I mean, it goes on, but.
Philippians 3:20?
Yeah, it goes on, but yeah. You're citizens of high heaven.
We're citizens of heaven.
That's right. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're right now, you're with him, right? Mm-hmm. So here we go. How do I get through this second part of this relational truth? I want to experience that. He says that's where you're at. The psalmist just said it this way. You know what? I've set the Lord continually before me. Right? He says this in Psalm 16, verse 8. I set the Lord continually before me. How do I do that? Because I know this. He's at my right hand. What did the psalmist just say? What was he celebrating? I'm with him right now.
Yeah.
We're together right now. By the way, you know how that verse ends? Because I'm celebrating, I'm with him. I'm celebrating, he's at my right hand. The verse ends this way. Therefore, I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Right? So you want to be in that stable place. You want to be in that confident place. You want to be in that this mess around me, this swirl around me isn't jacking me up because I'm with him. I'm connected with him right now. I'm in that place, and he tells me in this place, right? I'm not moved. I am not moved, right? And then the third thing I would tell you, right? So. The first one's like, we need to make this a priority. He tells us, just be here, stay in this place. We make it a priority. We realize to make this a priority, we need to like purposefully connect with him, go purposefully enjoy him, purposefully just come and be with him, right? And from that place, he tells us, you're gonna walk in these powerful assignments. You're gonna, it's with you, but this is why we took the juice this morning. We disqualify ourselves from sitting together with them. We disqualify ourselves from being the one who's going to pray for the person with cancer. We disqualify ourselves from being the word for that person that's hurting on the street. And sometimes we'll do it by saying, that's Shelly's job. She's got that gift. Other people, it might be, he's the guy. He's always hearing from God. He's just in that kind of space. Dave's always in this kind of like mystical place. He's always
mystical.
Yeah, he's my mystic guru, supernatural guy, right? And it's like he's just connects that way, and so. I dismiss it, or I say that stuff's more for Dave, and that's more for Shelley. And my answer to that is, that's a lie. That's, in fact, hear this right, that's sin. That's what sin is. Sin is you actually walking in a lot. And that's not because of you. Sin is the enemy puts this mask on you that confuses you, disorients you about who you really are. You are made to be the powerful one that's going to go pray. You are made to be the one who brings the word to that person on the street. You are the one who's just created to hear and receive and connect with them, right? It doesn't take a special gift,
right,
to connect. Right, it doesn't take a special gift to be relational with them. It doesn't take a special anointing to make it a priority to seek him and connect with him, right? Our default mindset should be he loves me and he qualifies me. That's my default. And everything about your journey here on this earth is getting one culture out of you and putting a kingdom culture in you, right? Mm-hmm. So we're literally learning to think differently. We're learning to rewire our minds, right? The purpose, it's what Paul says, transform. Paul's telling us to literally change how we think. This thing about my mind shift to be he loves me and he qualifies me. My foot stomper here is not because of anything we've done. He loves you and qualifies you not because of anything you've done. He loves you and qualifies you because of what he's done. Okay. Your assignment is to receive what he's done, right? He loves you. He qualifies you. He did it. Free gift, right? My final verse, okay? Colossians 1:11 says this. You're strengthened with all power. There you are. You got your bubble? You're darling at work, walking the hallways. Right? You're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. What did we just receive? All that fruit. We just said, right? So in my bubble is all that love, joy, peace, patience. Right? I've got this. I'm walking in this powerful response. And he says, and I'm joyously giving thanks to the Father. Hear this. For he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What did he just say? Come on in. You want in my bubble? Mm-hmm. That's what he said. This is you. I'm walking. I'm in love. I'm experiencing, in this place, he just deposits his fruits right here. It's like, whoa. And in this, now I've got this, wow. He says, I've got this incredible strength. I'm strengthened with all power, not some, all power. So now I have a response to blindness. I've got a response to sickness. I've got a response to even death. I've got a word for the hopeless. Right? Here I am. And he says, why? Because of him. Because of him. So I want to give you something. Here, hand me that sheet right there, Dart. Or Dean can get it. Right there. I want to give you something. And it's just a, can you hand them out? Oh, something to take with you. Right? It's actually, call it an exercise. All right? Call it an exercise. And for your quiet time, maybe that's, and we're not going to go over it now. We're going to go over it. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. But it's really just about a simple, and by the way, a couple minutes. That's all it is. A couple minutes. And it's just letting him learn. It's just that first, if Jesus says the starting point is remain in my love, if he says the anchor to everything here is abiding in love, then it must be important. So before the enemy gets any chance to disqualify us or tweak us or flip us upside down, let's just say, you know what? I'm going to make this a priority, and I just want to reflect on that this week. I just want to enjoy being loved. I just want to enjoy letting my spirit soak up his love, letting my mind just kind of like connect with his thoughts about me this week. Amen? All right, so let's just say, Holy Spirit, we want you to come this week. We want to be reconnected. We want to be realigned. We want to be just baggage and weight washed off. And so we just purposefully this week, we just say we choose to seek you, God. We want more of you. We want to connect, God. We want to plug into heaven this week in just a powerful way. It's like getting our think of it as like getting your cell phone plugged in, guys. The battery's low. We're just gonna plug into His love this week and get 100%. It's just like, so we just say yes to the more. We say yes to Holy Spirit. We say yes to your words and your dreams and your pictures, God, and our assignments this week. We just say yes, Lord Jesus. We just celebrate you today. Amen.
Yeah.